Listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, the show about comic books and, you know, all graphic illustrated art all the time. That sounds so weird in the studio. I'm just not going to listen to my headphones. It's too weird. Well, actually, let's fix that. Hello? No, that doesn't work. Anyways, we have a great show planned for you today. And I say we as in the royal we. It's just me here. Nobody else. And we're going to be talking about the big books, because I have pretty much all of them, and I think they are an excellent anthology. Now, the big books were put together by Paradox Press, which is an imprint of DC's, where they were trying to cater to their more mature readers, and these big books are definitely for mature readers only, so please don't run out and get them for your children. These big books were sort of a tongue-in-cheek look at various subject matters. They really did their research. They have extensive bibliographies in the back. They had fascinating artists from all over DC's spectrum of artists, far and wide. And they would focus on various things. But just a little bit more about Paradox, because Paradox was a really interesting imprint. I was talking to you about it earlier. It was a revamp of Piranha Press. And if you remember on the second episode of the Onomatopoeia Show, we interviewed Dave Luop, who is the writer of Beautiful Stories for Ugly Children, which was on the Paradox Press imprint. See? Full circle. The other things that Paradox did were Brooklyn Dreams, which was one of the first things that Glenn Barr had put out as an illustrator, like one of the first comics, so I was really excited to see that. They also did two of DC's movies. They did the comic book versions, not adaptations, because originally these were comic books before they became movies, so they did the Road to Perdition and History of Violence. Also, Paradox put out Gregory, which it was very near and dear to my heart. It's a adorable comic put out by an advertising agent, and it's about this little boy who is completely insane in an insane asylum, and that's his home. He just lives in the insane asylum. He's just Gregory. And also, they also put out Stuck Rubber Baby, which I also adore. It was up for a Pulitzer. It's an amazing story about a man coming out of the closet as a gay man, as well as being around during the 1960s civil rights movement. So it's beautifully illustrated by Howard Cruz, and it's also amazingly well written by Howard Cruz. And lastly, they put out also Understanding Comics and Reinventing Comics. So Paradox Press has put out quite a few interesting little things. And I think that everybody should go out there and check out Paradox Press, because we're going to be talking about the big books, and there's 17 big books, and they all have fascinating subject matter, so we're going to get right into it. The first book they did was The Big Book of Urban Legends, and this was put together and edited by Andy Helfer, who had reincarnated Piranha Press and aimed these books at non-comic book readers. Now, these big books are little synopsises of stories where they've done their fact checking and they want you to see all sides of the story. It's not just one side. Now, the first book was A Big Book of Urban Legends, which won an Eisner Award right out of the gate, which I think is awesome. The second big book was A Big Book of Weirdos, which came out in April of 95. The third big book was The Big Book of Death, which came out in June 95. And then the next big book to win an Eisner was The Big Book of Conspiracies. It's a great book. We'll talk about it further. Don't worry. And also they did The Big Book of Freaks, The Big Book of Little Criminals, The Big Book of the Bad, The Weird Wild West Big Book, The Big Book of Hoaxes, The Big Book of Thugs, The Big Book of Losers, The Big Book of the Unexplained, The Big Book of Martyrs, The Big Book of Scandal, The Big Book of Vice, The Big Book of Grimm. And then the last book was The Big Book of the 70s, which I thought was kind of odd because, you know, like everything sort of made sense up until the 70s. Why specifically that era? But we'll get into it. Now, one of the last books that were supposed to come out was The Big Book of Wild Women, and we're going to be talking about that in a little bit too as well. But I just wanted to give you a little few factoids about the big books that I think are interesting. For example, way back in 1997, after The Big Book of Conspiracies came out in 1995, this man, Trevor McEwen, who's part of the Grand Lodge British Columbian Freemason site or Freemason group, did a a couple of pages on defeating and refuting the facts in the Big Book of Conspiracies. So if you want to get all sides of the stories and you're reading the Big Book of Conspiracy and it's talking about all the different rituals that the Freemasons do, for example, or how the Freemasons are associated with the Illuminati, you can go to this guy's website and he'll talk to you from the Freemason perspective of it. I just thought it was really interesting that he took the time to go through and refute everything they say in the Big Book of Conspiracies. But the thing about the Big Book of Conspiracies, it's interesting, is that he kind of lost the point, which was that the Big Book of Conspiracies were just about reported conspiracies. It's not like, this is true and you must believe it. This is the way it is. No, it's just like, hey, you know, conspiracy theorists, they talk about this and they say this happened and this is why it happened, da 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 da. It's if you're definitely into conspiracies, it's a great book to get into. So the other thing that's really interesting about the Big Books is, if you're a fan of Frank Quitely, who is a big DC artist right now, he was doing the Superman Superman All-Stars comic. And I like him because he's done We Three, which I think is an excellent story. He illustrated that. But his first North American work was in the Big Book of Urban Legends, which was the first big book. And he actually appears in pretty much all of them from that point on. Well, not all of them, but most, like a good chunk of them. Like, he's in the Big Book of Death and the Big Book of Freaks. And Frank Quitely, excellent artist. And then another interesting fact is Rick Geary is the only artist to work on all 17 books. Now, Rick Geary has a really cute style, not like cute like Japanese cute, but cute like in vintage Victoria beauty cute. He has a tendency to do a lot of comics about the murders that have happened in the past, like, say, things that revolved around the World's Trade Fair in the 30s, or, you know, the Jack the Ripper is another one he's focused on. So he's really well suited to do these stories, but he adds a real sophisticated edge to the comics because he's a very, very stylized artist. I think that's definitely a claim to fame, though, the fact that you can say Mr. Geary has been in all 17 of the big books. And another interesting fact about the big books also is that a couple of years ago, when Alan Moore's movie V for Vendetta came out, he got really upset with the company that was doing it because they said that he approved of the movie. He doesn't approve of any of his movies, and in fact is totally livid with DC for one, well, actually quite a few reasons. But a long time ago, when ABC Comics was coming out, he'd broken ties with DC and he wanted nothing to do with them. But Jim Lee was publishing ABC Comics, and Jim Lee's Wildstorm was bought by DC. So Alan Moore basically said, look, as long as you keep them, as long as there's somebody who can be a mediator between me and DC, we'll do this thing. So the problem is Alan Moore had been censored by DC before, and so he didn't want that to happen again. And he was doing a series of comics called The Tomorrow Stories. I know this sounds really convoluted. You're like, where's the point? What does it have to do with big books? He wanted to do a story about L. Ron Hubbard, but Paul Levitz, the publisher at DC, would not let him. Actually, I think he's like the president of DC or whatever. And the thing that made Alan Moore so upset is, in one of the big books, they had already done a story about L. Ron Hubbard. In fact, probably it was in the Big Book of Weirdos, if I had to guess. And it just seemed kind of silly that DC was censoring content that had already come out. But that's really typical for DC. So there is some interesting facts about the Big Book series. We're going to go to some music, and then when we come back, we're going to talk some more about each specific book, because I just love this series so much. It's really good, you know, toilet reading, if you want to bring it into the toilet with you. It's really good reading on the metro, because like each story is like about 2 or 3 pages long. There's a lot of information in it. And it's not biased, which I totally love. They try to show all sides. It's very humorous and sarcastic. It's sort of like watching The Daily Show, but historically, because a lot of these books deal with history. Anyways, you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, the show about comics, all graphic arts, all the time. We're going to go to a track by Mike Patton and Kid 606. The song is called Secrets for Sale, and I think it's kind of appropriate considering that a lot of these books talk about secrets. CJLO.
Give me your mind, some hieroglyphics. Scramblers and nightly dots. I don't taste unless you know that I'm marked the bat like a quartet. You're looking for me like a needle in a haystack. To break the crystal glance, I'm gonna be rocking. That's in my dream, there's no other side of me. I spy two eyes, got me in the last lap. I'm sticking the grass like a lie through a lot of grass. I'll send the bar to a neighboring star. Scrambling a flight and return via satellite. Cosmic intercourse and the bat of the test. Use the secret for these, some of mine will arrest you. Use your short hand and a close of a pen. Shh, I'm here to watch your pen.
Want to get active in the Montreal community? Come find out how at the Casa Care's first annual Community Awareness Day. Charities such as the Montreal Association for the Blind, Old Brewery Mission, John Molson Sustainability Group, and more will be there to tell you how. Just stop by the EV building during the day on January 28th. Casa Care's is sponsored by Clinique Révolution and your community radio station, CJLO.
And you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, all graphic arts, all the time. And we are talking about the big books. They were put out by Paradox Press, which is an imprint of DC, where they were trying to cater to the more adult reader. And with the big books, they did all sorts of awesome research and all sorts of awesome books. So we're going to start with the first one, which is the Big Book of Urban Legends. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. So it went over like all sorts of various urban legends, you know, like the one with the guy with the hook in his hand is at the back door of your car, and the babysitter is in the house, and the killer is in the house, like all those kind of urban legends. The illustrators were great. There was Hunt Emerson, who is this excellent British cartoonist who has a really cartoony, goofy style. Frank Quietly was in there. Glenn Barr did some work. He's kind of a lowbrow, considered a lowbrow artist now. Roger Landridge, really tight artist. Trina Robbins, who's like a female cartoonist feminist chick, and they all did their own little stories and takes on the urban legends. And that's one of the reasons why I love anthologies, because you have such a wide variety of artists, and so there's always something for somebody in there regardless. And it's also these big books are kind of like an amalgamation of artists that don't necessarily always work for DC, or if they do, they do like different things. So like people like Trina Robbins is a great example. Like, she's done stuff for DC, but you know, never anything on her own, like her own, you know, creator-owned, creator-operated kind of thing. It's just all been like here and there. Like, I think she did a Wonder Woman comic once, and so it's cool to be able to see her in this big book of urban legends. The second one was the Big Book of Weirdos. It was 77 of the world's greatest eccentrics like Caligula, Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, Houdini, and the Marquis de Sade. Now, some of the cool artists in the Big Book of Weirdos was like Mike Zeck, who done a bunch of Punisher stuff, Tony Harris, David Hein, who's a pretty big name now, and two of my favorite guys in this Big Book of Weirdos was Teddy Christensen, who's done a lot of stuff for DC. He's like Swedish, Finnish, or Dutch. Actually, I think he's Dutch. And he has a beautiful painted style. So it was really good to see his inks in the big books, as well as Peter Cooper, who did his awesome spray paint art. Peter Cooper does the Spy versus Spy comics in MAD right now. And he's also a teacher at one of the graphic illustrated universities in New York. But anyways, the next book was The Big Book of Death, and that was put together by Bronwyn Carlton, and it's the inside story of execution methods, for example, drawn in how people were drawn and quartered, how other people were given the electric chair. And it also gives you the history of some weird deaths, as well as some bizarre suicides, some burial methods through different cultures. There's a walking tour of some famous cemeteries and who resides in them. As well, there's a little bit on what happens to you in the great beyond. And the thing that was cool about The Big Book of Death is there's this cute little death character girl who's kind of like your tour guide through death. And so it's very tongue-in-cheek, but it's also really educational. My favorite part being the different burial methods from various cultures. Also, in that book, you can learn the origin of the guillotine, and you can learn also about cryogenics. And some of the people in that book were Steve Dillon, who was famous at the time for Preacher as an artist. Phil Winslade was another great artist who'd done stuff for DC. Like, I loved his DC Wonder Woman Elsewhere story. There's Kieran Dwyer, who's a big name in comics, right? Superhero comics now. Michael Avon Oeming, who's done like Thor, and he was the illustrator on Powers. As well as Greg Ruth, who's someone who's I've gotten into recently. He did some stuff for Dark Horse a couple of years ago. After that came the Big Book of Conspiracies, where it was written by Dov Monick, and it was plots and cover-ups like Watergate, Silkwood, the Iran-Contra affair, the various assassinations of the two Kennedys, Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. It was also using a stream of real and imagined facts to explain how shadowy forces like the Freemasons, the CIA, and even extraterrestrials could be conspiring to shape the world. So if you're a conspiracy buff, this is definitely an excellent book to have, because it's just, you know, it gives you a wide variety of the various conspiracies out there. You don't necessarily have to believe them. It's just fun to know. And there was some really good artists in that too. Let's see. There's also the Big Book of Freaks. Now, this is really cool because this was put together by Gayon Wilson, and I was talking about him last week. He was one of the sort of Charles Adamsy artists on Playboy magazine, who had a very gothic, dark style. And so it's no surprise that he's the writer behind the Big Book of the Freaks. So the Big Book of Freaks was all manner of odd and interesting subjects, from sideshow freaks to legendary creatures like giants, as well as the subject of Todd Browning's film Freaks. They talked about those people as well. And then people who advocated freaks like P.T. Barnum and various circuses. Now, some of the artists in this is Eric Schanower, who's doing excellent work on Oz comics. Bob Fingerman, who I've loved for a long time, ever since Minimum Wage. Brian Talbot, another fantastic artist. And Mitch O'Connell as well, who kind of has this sort of pinup good girl style going. As soon as you see it, you totally recognize it. So it's not like you do get some artists that you don't recognize. Like, there's a lot of names in these books that I don't know, and I'm obviously the canvas for these artists. But there's a lot of them that I do know, and the ones that I don't know, you know, they're high standard. This is not like your standard comic anthology where you're going, oh, well, there's some really crappy stuff in here, but at least there's one or two artists that I like. All the big books have consistently good art. I'm not saying it's 100% awesome. I'm just saying, you know, it's up there. It's like maybe 80% awesome. So I would, if you're into freaks, check out the Big Book of Freaks. Also, there's the Big Book of Little Criminals, which dealt with the world's most incompetent criminals. So there was a group of men that tried to convince people that they had Hitler's diaries, and they tried to get money for a bunch of diaries that weren't real. Some of the artists in that was Klaus Janson, Ty Templeton, one of the people I love, Rebecca Guay. She's a perfect example of what I was saying earlier, where DC will use her once in a while, but they don't use her very often. She did an excellent Green Lantern Elseworlds story that was totally painted and beautiful. It was great to see her in Little Criminals. And little Linda Medley, which was nice. Linda Medley doing Castle Waiting. So, you know, in the these big books, there's something for everyone. I can't say that enough. Anyways, you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, all graphic art, all the time. We're talking about the various books of big books that DC / Paradox / Piranha Press put out. Because, well, I'm going to get into some stories. We're going to do the big book of hoaxes and scandal and bad and all that jazz. But I wanted to do some music because, you know, lately I've been watching, my parents were so nice and they got me a gift certificate to HMV, which I, you know, is like manna from heaven for me. So I went out and I got the Flight of the Conchords DVD that I've been wanting for a really long time. And I, you know, I'm so digging on this show. This show is awesome in so many ways. And it's not just because they're funny and they're droll and they have excellent cool accents, but the music, it's about the music. These guys are so awesome. They like, they have such a variety in their music, so it's totally worth playing, and I'm going to force you to enjoy it. So the first track we're going to play is called Boom, and it's about, it's this guy, well, Brett is falling in love, well, not really falling in love, but he's, like, falling for one of the girls that he holds signs with, and my favorite line in this song is, like, she's so hot, she's making me sexist. anyways, I guess you have to see it to believe it, but anyways. Without further ado, here is Flight of the Conchords. You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM, and the track is called Boom.
Who's the internet station? Who's the college station to all the chicks?
CJLO!
You're damn right. Who is the station?
That gets everybody master.
Watch your mouth! CJLO!
Damn right. CJLO's a bad mother.
Not for the CRTC to hear.
She loved it. She's a big Lord of the Rings fan.
Oh my god. She's so hot.
Special tour.
She's so flippin' hot. She's like a curry. I want to tell her how hot she is, but she'll think I'm being sexist. She's so hot, she's making me sexist. Bitch. I think I need a 1983 Casio DG20 electric guitar, set to electric mandolin, some drums, yeah.
I see you with a sign, I wanna boom like it's never been done. My smooths like the click of my bugger. My beats stay locked and my eyes are zooming. My feet start twicking and my body's booming. The first day booming, the flowers are blooming. Booty boom, bass and the party is booming. Boom, ba boom, like a rocket taking after the moon. Boom, boom, like a bride in the boom. See you shaking that boom boom. See you looking at my boom boom. See you want some boom boom. It's beer, it's boom time, boom boom. Let me buy you a boom boom. You order a fancy boom. You like boom, I like boom. Enough small boom, let's boom the boom.
Fast forward, selector.
Now we're rolling on a boom boom. I ride into a my private room and we boom what's boom and we both assume we're gonna boom 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 till the break up boom.
Who's the boom king?
Who?
I'm the boom king.
What?
Who's the boom king?
Tell me now.
I'm the boom king. From 10 years, boom and boom, man. They said he had his boom chopped off in the boom, but the crazy boom still loves the boom, man. Zip the boom, man. My lens goes zoom, and your big boom drops. But over boom, boom, we both get freaky, and the boom gets leaky. Then we boom, 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 boom.
Who's the boom king?
Who?
I'm the boom king.
What?
Who's the boom king?
Ha!
I'm the boom king.
Hey, this is John Cho from Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay, and you're listening to CJLO Radio.
That's right, CJLO, 1690 AM. Wow, that's really cool they got John Cho to do that. Oh, well, it's cool to me. Anyways, we're talking about the big books, and these are giant graphic art symposiums. No, that's the wrong word. Giant portfolios. Anyways, whatever. I'm just trying to sound cool, and I'm not, so we'll just get to the comics. The Big Book of Hoaxes is next on our list, and these big books were put out by Paradox Press, which was an imprint of DC Comics, and if you're an intelligent, thoughtful person, and you're into different things like death and weirdos and conspiracies and freaks and little criminals and that sort of thing, and urban legends, then you're going to love these books. Even if you're not really into them, it's just like a little tea party of information. So I totally recommend it. Oh, and what you heard earlier, I should mention, speaking of tea parties, because we're going to get to that in a minute. You heard some Flight of the Conchords, because I'm totally loving it. And that was Brett. No, I can't do it. I'm not New Zealand, but doing his boom song in the video is hilarious. Anyways, it's, you know, it's what goes through boys' heads, right? When they see girls they like, boom, boom. Anyways, the Big Book of Hoaxes is, of course, what it exactly says. It's the Big Book of Hoaxes. And there's all these various hoaxes that they talk about in here, like the autobiography of Howard Hughes. The people said that they had it and they didn't really. There was also the teddy bear hoax, where everyone thought that Teddy Roosevelt was really nice, but he killed the teddy bear in the end. And all these, you know, the balloon hoax of Edgar Allan Poe. But I'm going to read the royal we again. I'm going to read to you from Billy Tippleton's secret, because this is a pretty current secret, which is kind of neat. Well, not that current, I guess. 30s. People who knew jazz music knew the name of Billy Tipton. The baby-faced Tipton played both saxophone and piano for legendary big bands headed by Jack Teagarden and Ross Carlisle in the 30s and 40s. The Billy Tipton Trio formed in 1954 with Dick O'Neill on drums and Ron Killed on bass. They were a successful group for over 10 years. And in 1960, Tipton met Kitty Oakes, a shapely, redheaded, exotic dancer.
Wow, what a dish.
Soon afterwards, Tipton was telling all his friends that Kitty was now the new Mrs. Tipton. Within a few years, the Tiptons adopted 3 boys. Tipton was a good father. He took the kids camping and even became a scout master. Being a good scout will help you learn to be a man, son. In the late 80s, Tipton felt ill, but refused to seek medical help. In January 1989, the music stopped. Billy Tipton had died of a bleeding ulcer. 4 days later, Donald Ball, the director of Ball and Dodd's funeral home, revealed to Tipton's son, John, a secret that would stun both Tipton's family and friends and the world's jazz community.
Son, your father was a woman.
With the secret revealed, many odd qualities of Tipton's life seemed to be answered, like the fact that Tipton rarely shaved and wore an athletic cup every day.
Let's go swimming, Dad. No, not today.
Kitty Oakes, who had left Tipton 10 years before he died, said she had never guessed his secret. It seems that Tipton had told her that he had suffered an injury to his genitals that made it impossible to consummate their marriage. Dick O'Neill, who played in the Billy Tipton Trio, later joked to the New York Times that fans of Tipton would often comment on his baby face and his high singing voice. Why the charade for all those decades? It is believed that Tipton became a man in order to enter the male domain of jazz music. Tipton's son John told the press that he wondered if it was keeping the secret so long, which gave her the bleeding ulcer that eventually killed her. So it's interesting, like it's kind of silly, but at the same time it's very reverent and irreverent. Can it be both? Yes, we're going to make it both. And then, so this Big Book of Hoaxes, it talks about, I think I marked the one that was about the best hoax of all, the War of the Worlds. I'll just read a couple minutes of that, because you guys should all know about that hoax. It's a famous radio hoax, and you are listening to radio. The science fiction thriller about invaders from Mars became, due to its fateful timing, one of the biggest, bestest hoaxes ever. October 38th was an anxious time for many Americans. German troops today marched in the Sudetenland. It looks like war for now. Next thing you know, we'll be in it too, Margaret. But for 23-year-old Orson Welles, it was a time of triumph. With his partner John Houseman and their Mercury Theater Company, he had already produced several acclaimed plays. Time magazine called the actor, writer, director the brightest moon that had risen over Broadway in years. Welles was also a radio star. He played the Shadow.
Who knows what evil lurks inside the hearts of men?
That's my Shadow impersonation, not my Orson Welles impersonation. And also, he produced a weekly radio show called the Mercury Theater on air. Welles told writer Howard Koch that to change the story's setting to present-day America, and Koch for the next 6 days was a blur of writing. The cast read through the work in progress, and not everyone was enthusiastic. Invaders from Mars, who's going to listen to this bunch of hooey? Finally, at 8 o'clock p.m., the Columbia Broadcasting System presents Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater of the Air. By presenting the story in a form of news, bullet broadcast, and flash bulletins, Welles hoped to make the far-fetched drama more believable. And thanks to a timely coincidence, he succeeded beyond his wildest dreams. At 8 o'clock, most listeners were turned to the Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy show on NBC, but by 8:12, when Bergen and McCarthy finished their routine, they switched over in time to hear... Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most terrifying thing I have ever witnessed. The eyes are black and gleam like a serpent's. The mouth is V-shaped with saliva dripping from its rimless lips. While his authentic-sounding new cast caused panic across the country. So, as you can see, the Big Book of Hoaxes has some really great hoaxes as well as some modern-day hoaxes. The best one, and I'm not going to read it because it's too long, but it's awesome, was the Four Reporters and the Boxer Rebellion, where in 1898, four reporters competing for Denver papers are crying into their beers at a hotel bar. My city editor is rumbling he's going to transfer me to the mountain snowbeat unless I come up with some big stories. We could say steel men are in town to start a mill to compete with Colorado Iron. So the boys also decided to come up with their own whopper of a story. How about the Great Wall of China? Hey, great. Nobody in Denver knows anything about the Great Wall of China. It's 1898, after all, long before the internet. We can say it's going to be demolished to open China outside trade. And so they tell this giant lie, Great Chinese Wall doomed, Peking seeks world trade, that in the end ends up starting the Boxer Rebellion. This is just ridiculous. I love the big books. They're so informative. And it's my favorite way to learn about history is through comics. After the Big Book of Hoaxes, there was the Big Book of Thugs, which had art by Kim Deitch, Steve Leahola, Alfredo Acala, and Hilary Barda. These guys are all big names in DC superhero comics. As Leahola was started doing Fables, if you're into that. That wasn't his start, but recently that's what he's been doing. Alfredo Acala, from what I understand, was doing some Swamp Thing. And Hilary Barda is just Hilary Barda, man. Can't explain him. He's awesome. There's also the great thing about the Big Book of Thugs, too, is that after The Gangs of New York came out, that movie that I guess it was, oh gosh, I want to say Coppola did it, but I could be wrong, with DiCaprio and Daniel Day-Lewis, where it was all about the gangs in New York, the Big Book of Thugs actually talks about all those gangs. So it was really interesting to read and then see also what it was talking about. Basically, these are like nonfiction stories for, I don't know, people with ADD like me. It's also like the Cole's Notes of life. So, you know, you could watch a movie like The Gangs of New York and get just a synopsis or a sampling of, you know, the gangs of New York and the history of the gangs of New York. And then you can go to the Big Book of Thugs and fill out that history. Isn't that excellent and cool and interesting? Anyways, another one is the Big Book of Losers, which I don't have, so I can't really tell you much about it. I think I'd probably decided it was just far too depressing to have a show about the Big Book of Losers. a comic called the Big Book of Losers. Because it's just like all these people and their horrible, sad lives, you know. I don't want to go over that. And then there was the Big Book of Unexplained, which was about impossible animals, lost continents, bizarre phenomenon, the mummy's curse, Loch Ness, Bigfoot, alien abduction. And that had guys like Joe Sacco, who's a comic book journalist, Ted Nyefe, who's a total goth artist, J.H. Williams, who was doing Alan Moore's Promethea, and Sergio Aragonés, who you guys all know from in Mad Magazine Margins. And then there was the Big Book of Martyrs, which was all about the lives and deaths of Christian martyrs, such as Saint Valentine, Joan of Arc. And then the last chapter is about people who had recently been tortured for their faith. And that was really interesting and informative. So, like, if you're, you know, remotely interested in religion. The artists on that were Sherry Flanagan, Colleen Doran, Marie Severin, David Lloyd, who illustrated V for Vendetta. So, again, lots of really good artists in these big books. Now, we're going to go to some more music. Some more Flight of the Conchords, and then we're going to talk about like the Big Book of Scandal and the Big Book of Bad and the Big Book of Vice, which are some of the best ones. You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. I am your host, Robin. We are talking comics, all graphic art, all the time. And now I'm going to just force you to listen to some more of the Flight of the Conchords because I'm so in love with them. This track is called Fou de Fafa, and it's their French song. And when I saw it, I couldn't stop laughing, mostly because I'm in French Canada. So they do a really good job. I was quite impressed. After that, it's the song. It's called Hip Hopopotamus versus the Rhinoceros, and it's an awesome Flight of the Conchords rap track. You're listening to CJLO 1690, and here we go with some Flight of the Conchords for ya.
Je suis enchanté. Où est la bibliothèque? Voilà mon passeport. Ah,
Gérald Depardieu. Baguette.
Baguette.
Fou du fa-fa. Fou du fa-fa-fa-fa. Fou du fa-fa. Aïe. Fou du fa-fa. Fou du fa-fa-fa-fa. Fou du fa-fa. Aïe.
Et maintenant le voyage à la supermarché. Pomme la mousse. Ananas. Jus d'orange. Bœuf. Soupe de jour. Camembert. Jacques Cousteau. Baguette. Oh.
Bonjour.
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 Bonjour monsieur.
Bonjour mon petit perro de chien.
Ça va?
Ça va, ça va?
Ça va.
Voilà la conversation dans le parc.
Où est le livre?
À la bibliothèque.
Et la musique danse?
À la discothèque.
Et les discothèques?
C'est ici bébé. Un, deux, trois, quatre. Fou du fa-fa.
Fou du fa-fa-fa-fa.
Fou du fa-fa. Aïe. Fou du fa-fa.
Fou du fa-fa-fa-fa.
Fou du fa-fa. Aïe.
Où est la piscine?
Pas dans moi.
Où est la piscine? Splash-splash.
Hein?
Oh.
Hein? Je ne comprends pas.
Heavy-ass rock, badass metal, and kick-ass hardcore, every Wednesday night at 9 with Turn Down the Sun.
I'm the motherfucking rhinoceros. My bees are fat and the birds are on my back and I'm horny.
I'm horny.
If you choose to proceed, you will indeed concede. Cause I hit you with my flow, the wild rhyme will stampede. I'm not just wild, I'm trained, domesticated. I was raised by a rapper and writer that dated and subsequently procreated. That's how it goes. Here's the hip-hop-hopotamus, the hip-hop-hippo.
They call me the hip-hop-hopotamus. My lyrics are bottomless.
Sometimes my rhymes are polite and I thank you for dinner, Miss Wright. That was very delicious, good night. Sometimes they're obscene like a pornographic dream. NC-17 with ladies in a stream of margarine. Ha 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 ha. Yeah, some margarine.
They call me the hip-hop-hopotamus. Flows that glow like phosphorus. Popping off the top of this esophagus. Rocking this metropolis. I'm not a large water-dwelling mammal. Where did you get that preposterous hypothesis? Did Steve tell you that perchance? Steve.
My rhymes and records, they don't get played. Because my records and rhymes, they don't get made. And if you rap like me, you don't get paid. And if you roll like me, you don't get laid.
My rhymes are so potent that in this small segment I made all of the ladies in the area pregnant. Yeah, sometimes my lyrics are sexist, but you lovely bitches and hoes should know I'm trying to correct this.
Other rappers diss me, say my rhymes are sissy. Why
exactly?
What? Why?
Be more constructive with your feedback, please. Why?
Why? Why? Cause I rap about reality. Like me and my grandma drinking a cup of tea. There ain't no party like my nana's tea party. Hey, ho. I'm the mother flippin'.
I'm the mother flippin'.
I'm the mother flippin'.
Who's the mother flippin'?
I'm the mother flippin'.
I'm the mother flippin'.
I'm the mother flippin'.
Mother flippin'.
And you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. And this is the Onomatopoeia Show, the show about comics, all graphic art, all the time. And we were talking about the DC Paradox Press big books, because there's 17 of them. It's a big show about big books. And I actually missed talking about the news. So I thought you guys might like to know. There's an awesome comic book convention coming up. It's May 9th to 10th, 2009, obviously, at the Toronto Comic Art Festival. Now, the Toronto Comic Art Festival is a little different from your average comic convention, because mostly what happens with most comic conventions, you just show up. If you're an artist, you say, hey, can I be a part of this? And they say, yeah, give us your money. You can be a part of this. But the Toronto Comic Art Festival started by inviting people. You only could get an invite. You cannot, they like specifically find you and take you. You can't just say, hey, please, can I sell my comics? They're like, no, we don't want you unless we want you. So the Toronto Comic Art Festival is pretty cool, and it's put together by the dudes at The Beguiling. So if you want to learn more information about it, just go to www.beguiling.com. But to tell you a little bit more about what's going on, it's going to take over the weekend of Saturday and Sunday, May 9th and 10th, at the first, and it's going to be the first Canadian appearance of Japan's Yoshiro Tatsumi. Tatsumi did a bunch of books that were collected by Adrian Tomei and translated by Adrian, and published by Drawn and Quarterly, which is our local comic book imprint. Also, Tatsumi is debuting the English translation of his massive comics autobiography, The Drifting Life. Oh, wow, that's exciting. Published by Drawn and Quarterly. We'll probably get it here first, because we're here in Montreal where Drawn and Quarterly is. Also, Adrian Tomei is going to be there. Ivan Brunetti is going to be there. Paul Pope is going to be there. Emmanuel Guibert from France is going to be there. And Annick Fechtenberger from Germany will also be there. They're also going to have lots of different artists and book stuff and all sorts of cartoony things. When I was there, I went there the first year, and they actually had John Cricofalusi doing stuff, which was so cool. The guy from Ren and Stimpy. At this show, there's going to be an off-site gallery show by Jordan Crane, which will be at the Magic Pony Gallery. And there's also the annual Doug Wright Awards that are scheduled for the same weekend. So again, just go to thebeguiling.com, beguiling.com, and it'll direct you to the Toronto Comic Art Festival, the TCAF. I'm going to do my best to get there because Toronto's not so far away. I know people. I can stay there cheap. And I'm going to get these interviews, man. Although I'm not so sure if I'll be interviewing Adrian because I've already done him twice. But I might be interviewing Paul Pope because I've only done him once. And I'm really curious to see what he's up to these days. And I've already done Jordan Crane twice too. So maybe I'll do the European people. We'll see. Maybe I'll do Yoshiro Tatsumi. That would be awesome. But he might require a translator. That might be hard. We'll see what happens. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. It'll be good. It'll all be good. Anyways, I'm running out of time, of course, and I want to tell you more about the big books. There's like the Big Book of Scandal, the Big Book of Bad, the Big Book of the Weird Wild West. So if you're into bizarre Western stuff like homosexual cowboys, then that's a good one to get. The Big Book of Vice, the Big Book of Grimm, which was like the original retelling of the Grimm's fairy tales that were not sensitized for children. And there's some cool people in there like Charles Vess and Cliff Chiang and Dame Darcy. And then there's the Big Book of 70s. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Big Book of Scandal, because my favorite ones are the Big Book of Scandal, the Big Book of Bad, and the Big Book of Vice. The Big Book of Scandal is all about movie people and Tinseltown. They talk about the Woody Allen, Mia Farrow thing. They talk about Heidi Fleiss, the best Hollywood madam ever. They talk about the lives and loves of Ingrid Bergman. They talk about The Sweater Girl and the Gangster, which is all about Lana Turner, illustrated by Arnold Pander, who I love. They talk about Charlie Chaplin. They talk about Fatty Arbuckle. They talk about all sorts of people like Jimmy Swaggart and Jim and Tammy Baker. And it's pretty awesome. They talk about the Anita Hill and Brian... Anita Bryant, why I'm saying that so wrong. Anita Bryant, Clarence Thomas trial. They talk about the Iron Contra scandal. They talk about all sorts of cool things. So it's not just Hollywood. It's all sorts of other people. They talk about Michael Jackson. They talk about O.J. Simpson. They talk about Charles and Diana. And there's some excellent artists in this one as well. Some of the people I've mentioned before, like Bob Fingerman and Brian Talbot and Sergio Aragonés. And it's so good. I love the big books so much. And I'm like such a gossip freak that the scandal was cool because it was all about local. Well, not local. What am I saying? It's all about current stuff, mostly, for the most part, like starting at the 1900s. Now, the Big Book of Bad, I especially adore because the Big Book of Bad is all about the really bad people throughout history. And I didn't even really know much about Idia Emin, for example, or Rasputin, for another example, or Nikolai Ceausescu, for another example. So the Big Book of Bad is really cool because you learn about all these interesting people from different perspectives. Now, I'd mark some pages here. One of the things, too, about the Big Book of the Bad that was cool is that they also do the Big Book of the Bad Light, which is short for literature. And so they talk about the bad people throughout literature, like Moriarty and Blackbeard and Dracula and Lady Macbeth, for example. And then they go into like groups of bad people, like whether they be religious cults or the Ku Klux Klan or Pol Pot and his great organized killing scheme. So my favorite, of course, was the McCarthy era. And this I find really interesting because, you know, these big books are put out by an American company in the States. And so, you know, they're going through and they're talking about all various countries and how they've done things they shouldn't have done and whether or not it's right. But then, you know, they don't pull any punches. They even talk about sort of corruption within the States. And of course, the McCarthyism bad is the fact that McCarthy destroyed all these lives, and it was just a personal thing. Like he kept saying he had a list of all these communists, but the numbers on the list kept changing continuously. And he also was, yeah, he was just not a good person. And then the last book I'm going to talk about is the Big Book of Vice, which is awesome because it's all about that stuff that you're not supposed to look at, like sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And it's got excellent artists. Again, I can't stress enough how good the art is. And it also talks about all the neat things about sex, drugs, and rock and roll that you didn't know. So the first chunk of the book is all about places that were considered sinful, like Las Vegas and Tijuana and all the things you can get away with down there, Havana and Cuba. You know, everyone goes to Cuba for their quickie divorces and stuff. It also talks about Times Square and Amsterdam. Then the second bit is about drugs. And some of the stuff they talk about hemp really makes me laugh. And they talk about prohibition and reefer madness and opium and, you know, how the opium wars were started, basically, because the Americans were pissed. The Chinese didn't want any opium in their country. They were more than happy to sell it outside the country. And the Americans wanted to make money off them, and they got angry, so they started a war. This is great. I'm going to read the... Oh, no, it's too long. I was going to read the Reefer Madness one, because the one thing about the Reefer Madness that's interesting is right around the same time that marijuana was considered this evil drug, and they made the movie Reefer Madness, and they were telling all the housewives, you know, if your child smokes pot, they're going to be evil and rotten. It was the same time that DuPont had created a new chemical to bleach paper, and hemp was a wonderful renewable resource for paper, when suddenly, all of a sudden, hemp was considered evil. And then, let's see, what else is in the Big Book of Vice? It also talks about LSD, and, it's just tobacco, the evils of tobacco. And then it has a big section on sex, slaves, and prostitution, and, you know, why they call it the oldest profession. Talk about John Holmes, they talk about Marquis de Sade. They even go into aphrodisiacs and history-making bets. It's the Big Book of Vice. I love it. I love the Big Book of Vice. There's this awesome series of cards called the Vice Styles of the Rich and Famous. So let's learn about Cary Grant. The legendary movie star was rarely taken seriously as an actor. Many felt he was just playing himself on screen. But the role was actually a difficult one. He had begun taking LSD under psychiatric care in 1958 to help him deal with the conflicts between his Hollywood persona of debonair Cary Grant and his natural-born identity of Cockney Archibald Leach. Grant tripped more than 100 times and claimed the drug helped him find peace of mind. He spent time with others intrigued by the drug, including Aldous Huxley as well, with a young psychologist who was deeply impressed by the actor. In a sense, Cary Grant got me into the psychedelic experience, said Dr. Timothy Leary later. Ooh, bet you didn't know that. Anyways, we're going to go to one last track, and then it's going to be time for your incinerator. Let's see, what am I going to play? Oh, I know what I'm going to play. I'm going to play the Ben Folds 5 because I know this has probably even been a hit. I have no idea. I don't remember. But I know just whenever I hear this song, I want it to be summertime. And whenever I hear it, I think it's summertime. So I'm going to try and brainwash you guys as well into thinking it's summertime because it's really friggin' cold out there. And we need some summer love, I think. This track is called Summer. It's from their album, self-titled Ben Folds 5. CJLO 1690 AM.
Nothing changes, ever changes. settle down. Yeah. Hell yeah.